When we get to that place, when we realize that we can't, but He can, that's a good place to get to. It sure is. All right, take your Bibles to the book of Ephesians this evening. We began again this morning. If you wasn't with us, we'll just recap a little bit where God's leading for this month. We have called this, if you've got a bulletin, there's some still back there. On the front of it, it says Fantastic February, and it has a picture of behind a blurred vision of the eye chart, but with those glasses, we can see clearly, and that's our aim to preach for the next little bit on focusing. And we look this morning on the need of focusing and how God will help us focus. And I read in the Sunday school opening this morning, and again, we meet at 9:30 every Sunday morning to pray. I read my favorite, my life verse that God laid upon our hearts several years ago. In Psalms 119:18, the Bible says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And we sure need our eyes open to the Word of God. And that's our desire, that God would help us to focus in. Again, as we mentioned this morning, many times the lines get a little smudgy. Sometimes we don't can't see the way that we really need to see. Sometimes you don't even know that your eyesight is bad spiritually. But God can take away that film. God can take away those things that would prevent us from seeing the way that God would have us to see. And God can help us to see clearly. And that's our prayer, that God would help us individually and collectively as a church to begin seeing back the way that God would have us to see and to see God in such a way. So let's stand together, Ephesians chapter 5, if you found your place this evening. I mentioned this morning, first out of the gate, is focusing on purpose. We need to know what our purpose is if we're going to do anything for the Lord. So we want to try to get our eyes focused in once again on what the main thing. Now listen, there's a lot of good things that go on in churches when it comes to meeting the needs of our community and different things. Churches do a lot of things, but I heard a preacher say this and I thought, boy, I like that saying. A lot of times churches get so wide, but they have no depth. I don't want to get too wide and not have the depth. Why? Because we need that depth. Amen. A ship can't travel through wide water, but a ship can travel through deep water. And so we need that depth. And so we don't want to get so wide. And again, a lot of times we lose what the true vision of our purpose is if we get very wide. We'll have this outreach, that outreach, this outreach. And they're all great things. But church, if we ever lose sight of the main thing, we've lost it. So that's our desire, to get our minds back on what the main thing is. So Ephesians chapter 5 this evening, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says here, verse number 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We've been studying the book of Proverbs for the last several weeks on Sunday night. We've stopped those Bible studies for this series of being on focus. Then we know the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And Paul here says for us not to walk as a fool, but to be wise. Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." How important is it to get focused on what our purpose is? The daylight is drawing nigh. It's going to be dark before long, and the Bible says it's coming a time when no man can work. I don't know when the Lord's coming, neither do you, but I believe He's coming soon. Amen. But if God doesn't come back in 100 years, none of us will be here. Every day is one less day that I have an opportunity to serve God. We must make much of that time. We need to redeem the time that God has given us. For such a time as this, this is the time that God has put you here to do a work for God. Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." This is our question. What is your purpose? Not what the purpose of the church is, not what the purpose of the pastor is, not what the purpose of whatever else you want to say. What is your purpose? Why are you here? Do you have vision about your purpose? Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, again for the good songs, the great fellowship, sweet spirit, Lord. And God, I thank you for this precious book. God, I just ask you tonight, God, to help us not to walk aimlessly through our life. God, help us to find purpose, Lord. God, set our feet upon that path, establish that going. Guide us, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do here for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, the question tonight, again, when it comes to vision, and we're going to see, Lord willing, over the next several weeks on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, through the month of February, about what our vision is, our being focused in on something. And again, I don't want to lose focus. And again, the Lord laid this first right out of the gate about purpose. We need to understand what our purpose is in the body of Christ. We need to understand, let me say this, you have a purpose. It's not what is your purpose, you have a purpose. So many people walk through life so aimlessly, they flounder around, and before you know it, life has passed us by, and before you know it, you're going to be dying, and before you know it, you're going to say, I wish I'd have done more for Christ. When should we start? We need to start today. Again, it breaks my heart sometimes as I begin to look backwards, and I know that's not a good thing to look to, but sometimes I do look back and think, Lord, I've wasted so much time. That does no good. God has given me another day today to serve Him, and if He lets me wake up in the morning, I have another opportunity to serve Him, but I must find my purpose. I want to make sure I fulfill every little bit of the day that God has. Well, preacher, I've got to do this, and preacher, we've got to do that. God knows you have to work. God knows you have responsibilities to do for your family and different things. God's not saying to hide yourself in a closet. God's not saying to be in a monastery somewhere cut off from the world. No, God has put us in this world to be the light and the salt to this world. But as you go throughout your day, whatever it might be as a worker, as it might be at the schoolhouse or wherever it might be, as you go through your activities, as you go through your day-to-day things that you do, do you ever look at what you could be doing through those avenues for the things of God? So I want us to draw our minds to the thought of what our purpose is. And again, let me say this. A lot of people never truly find their purpose. I don't want you to be that way. I'm going to give you three things at the very end, and this is the most simple thing. People struggle. I just don't know what the will of God is for me. And preacher, I don't know what to do. It's very simple. It really is. But we have blown it so far out of proportion that we lose sight. Again, that's the reason I want us to focus back or refocus back into truly what God says. And again, it's not that complicated. So I hope we'll see that this evening. First of all, I'd like to say that Christ Himself showed forth purpose. Throughout the readings of the Gospels, over and over, we find Christ stating why He was here. He did things that calibrated times. We're studying through the book of John, or we're on Wednesday nights. Throughout the book of John, we'll find over and over that thought of His time had not come. See, it was a purposed life that Christ came here to this earth. He came at a precise time. He died at a precise time. Let me read a few scriptures just to show you that even Christ Himself recognized His purpose. Mark chapter 1 verse 38 says this, and He said, the Lord, unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. See, He says, I've got a job to do. I've got a purpose, and my purpose is to go there and to preach. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's His purpose. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That's His purpose. He never lost sight of the purpose that he was here for. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, his purpose. John 12, verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Again, over and over we find that Christ identifies why he was here. Well, that's the Lord. Well, listen to me, friend, tonight. The Bible says this. And again, I'm preaching to the saved folk tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, your purpose is to get saved. That's when you truly get a purpose. But the Bible tells us that we are part of the body of Christ. This body is made up of many members. Again, we take that into the physical sense. Our body tonight physically is made up of all kinds of members. I have digits on my hands. I have toes. I have feet. I have legs. I have a heart. I have lungs. I do have a brain. Hey, we were made up of many members. It takes every one of these members to make my body work the way it does. I have discs in my back. Let me tell you, when one of my discs decides it don't want to work with the rest of my body, I promise you, I know it. Something's out of line. Something's not working right. And it tells me my body is not functioning the way it needs to be. I do. I said this not long ago. I'll say it again tonight. When it comes to the thought of the body of Christ, every member of my body is needed. Now, I know, as I've said before, when I went to the doctor and I was having gallbladder trouble, he said, that's not no problem. We'll do surgery. We'll take your gallbladder out. You really don't need it. I don't like that word. I believe I need everything that God put in me. But friend, tonight, that's exactly how the body of Christ works many times. It takes every person in the body of Christ. You might be a toe, you might be a finger, you might be an elbow, you might be an armpit. Armpit. But every part of the body has a function. Every part of the body needs to be doing what it needs to be doing. And again, who's the head of our body? Christ. Christ had a purpose. Guess what, friend? You've got a purpose. But we need to understand that every part of our body needs to be working in unison with one another, that the whole body functions the way it needs to function. The Bible warns us to not to you say, I have no use of my ear, or I have no use of my nose, or I have no use of my toe. Hey, friend, we need every one of the members doing what that member needs to be doing. So what is our purpose? Again, not collectively, but what is your purpose? It's wonderful to see. I got a blessing this afternoon. I wasn't thinking nothing about it. I got Stephen Burrell text me this afternoon and said, preacher, 9 years ago today, you asked me to preach my first message. I thought, boy, God's good. Because sometimes we don't feel like we have a purpose. But I do have a purpose, and you have a purpose. We're all part of that body. What is your purpose? As true as every part of the body, the armpit section and the toes and the eyes and elbows, whatever. Whatever your part of the body is. And every part is different. But every part truly has one purpose. Well, preacher, I'm an elbow. Well, you still have the same purpose as the big toe. No, preacher, the elbow does this and the big toe. No, in the great scheme of things, we're one body. And we have one purpose with one plan and one program. Let me read some verses to you as we go head our way into this thought. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And that's still true. Amen. He made a male, he made a female. Our world has a little problem with that today, but God still says that's the way he made it. I was born a man, I'll die a man. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Can I tell you tonight, even though the world's spinning right out of control, it seems like God's still in control. God knows what he's doing. God's not in heaven tonight wondering, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? The body's good, amen. The head's still got things in order. Psalms 139, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Does God control you tonight? I mentioned that horse this morning. God possesses my reins. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." See, God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a program for every person that's been born. That I mentioned about those babies that have been murdered. Again, God had a plan for every one of those. They had a purpose in the body of Christ. Well, preacher, who says they ever got saved? It's the will of God that everyone gets saved. I'm not for killing anybody, but that's the one good thing I can say. They're going to go to heaven. What's their purpose? What's your purpose tonight? Again, many people flounder through life, bouncing from this thing to this thing to this thing to this thing to this thing. They're never satisfied. They're never content. They do this for a little while. They do that for a little while. And when you're doing that, you never really set into that place of purpose. Many have wondered what their purpose is. Probably most have. I'm afraid many never find that purpose. And they do that aimlessly drifting through life. But again, everyone has a purpose. And I want to ask you again, have you found your purpose? You know, it takes purpose. People, we hear much on TV and media today about depression, and depression is real. Many struggle with depression. Brother Sanvellini preached that great message here several years ago now about how God helped him out of depression. We fight that depression. But one of the things that get people depressed quicker than probably anything is feel like they have no purpose. You need to have something every day of your life that makes you get up and want to go forward. You need to understand that you are a needed being. Many times people sit in the pews of churches and you know who you are. And you sit there and think, how could God ever use me? Why couldn't God use you? He uses me. Why wouldn't he use you? He used a donkey. Why wouldn't he use you? He used the ravens, why wouldn't he use you? You have a purpose. God wants to use you. People say, well, God doesn't need me. And now let me say, in one sense, that is true. But thank God, God chooses to use you. Have you ever thought about that? That God would use you? That's amazing. That's wonderful. And tonight you ought to sit there and think, hey, the God of heaven wants me to do something. Are you doing it? Many of you work public work. Many of you might work at an industry, maybe like Brother Tony's here and some others work at Freightliner. And many of you know that when people lay out, the work still goes on, don't it? But it puts a burden on everybody else. It puts things in disarray because people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And church tonight, for our church to work the way it needs to work, we need every part of the body doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you're needed in the body. And you're needed here in this local assembly. Amen. So again, finding that person or that place, that purpose. Let me read you a couple other things. You can please turn with me this evening to Exodus chapter 8. In Acts chapter 26, and then I'll give you these three little things. And again, it's so easy to find purpose. I think it really boils down, do you want to be used? We live in a lazy world. Everybody wants somebody else to do something for them. That doesn't work in God's organization. You need to be doing what God needs you to do when God wants you to do it. Look at Exodus chapter 8, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Why? That they may serve me. That sounds like purpose, doesn't it? Look in Acts chapter 26 this evening. Acts chapter 26 this evening. We're going to find three things quickly this evening. How to find purpose. How to get focused back in what we are supposed to do every day. Acts chapter 26, look with me in verse number 16. Here Paul is giving his account of how the Lord spoke to him, how God saved him. He's speaking to Agrippa here. Verse 16, let's back up verse 15. He said, and I said, who art thou, Lord? This is what Paul said there on that road that day. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, he says, but rise. This is what the Lord told Saul at that time. We know him as Apostle Paul. He says, to rise and to stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Tonight, we need to get focused once again on what the main thing for a child of God is. Now, I'm not speaking as a collectively group, as a church, but what's the church? Individuals. And we're part of the body of Christ. Three things, again, the will of God. What is the will of God for you? Well, preacher, I just don't know what the will of God. God tells us what His will is. What is the will of God? What is our purpose? Paul is given instruction. Paul has been told by God, not a preacher. It's not the preacher's job to tell you your what to do. I'm just here to try to help us all to get to the same place. I'm just a shepherd out here trying to keep us all bunched together, heading in the right direction. Sometimes it's like chasing chickens, and sometimes it's, you know. You ever tried to herd chickens? It's not an easy task. But God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. You're going to stand before Him one day. You're going to give an account of your life. Are you doing what God's called you to do? Well, preacher, I don't know what it is. Let me tell you what it is. And it's so simple. And again, we're the body. And the main purpose is the same to every one of us. Now, with that purpose, God has many gifts that through these three purposes, He sends us to different places doing different things. But it all boils back down to this purpose. And if you ever lose sight of this purpose while you're out doing all those other things, you've lost sight. You've come unhooked off the anchor and you're going to start drifting away. So what is these purposes? What is our refocusing on why we're here? Why we do what we do? What is it that God wants us to do? And God tells the Apostle Paul here what his desire is, what he needs to do. First of all, this evening, the first thing is to glorify God. It is our purpose. God created me. God made me. God formed me. God gave me breath. God give me life. I am here to give Him glory. This is what God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all. A-L-L. All to the glory of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Church, that is our purpose. Everyone in here tonight needs to understand that you're here not to entertain other people. You're not here to help other people do this or that. Your purpose in life, first of all and foremost, is to give glory unto God. You must find that purpose. You must realize that everything that we do, wherever we go, whatever facet that God puts us in, we need to realize to draw all that glory back to Him. Because it was Him that saved me. It was Him that called me. It was Him that directs me. So first of all, Paul finds forth that he needs to understand that his all glory belongs to God. Today, man likes to puff himself up. Man likes to have the pats on the back. But friend, this evening, we must always stay true to the fact it is God that does everything. Without Christ, I can do nothing. With Christ, I can do all things. Tonight, we need to get back to the place that we realize to give all glory back to God. I thank God for our church. I do. It is God that put this place here. It is God that gives it the heritage it has had. It is God that has directed us along our ways. And if we ever lose sight that it was God, we'll lose sight and drift away. And before we know it, we've lost focus on our purpose. Our purpose is first to give glory to God. Second of all, this is easy. You want to know what your purpose is? Give your life unto the Lord. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Him. So what's our purpose? It's first of all, to give glory to God. Second of all, we find here, he tells them here, he says, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. First of all, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. First of all, we need to give glory to God. Second of all, we've been called to minister. Well, no, preacher, you're the minister. No. We are all been called to minister. We need to take what God has showed us, what God has taught us, and we need to teach it to our youngins. We need to teach it to the people we work with. We need to share the gospel everywhere we go. We need to minister unto them. Why? Because they're in darkness. Why? Because they're in bondage. And we need to let people know that they have hope. And we need to minister those things unto them. I worked with a man one time. Years ago at a place in Statesville, he had this mentality that he'd been there so long that he knew all the secrets of how to fix stuff. He didn't want to share anything because he felt like if he shared it with somebody else, then he didn't have that power. He didn't have that authority. He didn't have that purpose. Like, you know, it gave him a place. And I know a lot of preachers that way. I know a lot of people in church that way. But friend, we need to realize that we need to study together to help us to grow in the Word of God and the things of God. And we need to minister one to another. Why? Because that's our purpose. To encourage, to strengthen, to help us one another down the road. So first of all, our purpose is to give God glory. Second of all, we are called to minister. And third of all, you want to know what your purpose is? To be a witness. Those are the three things that I believe God lays out for every member of the body of Christ. First of all, that we give Him glory. Second of all, that we minister to each part of the body. For what purpose? That we can go out into the highways and hedges and compel others to come in. We need to be a witness. You follow the life of the Apostle Paul. We see him going from here to there, the great missionary that he was. We follow him on his missionary journeys. We think, wow, look at what God did through Paul. But what did Paul do? Paul over and over and over did what? Gave a witness of what God had done for him. That is our purpose. I need to share what God has done for me to every person that I can. I need to show them what Christ has done in my life. I need to be a witness of how He transformed me, how He brought me up out of that horrible pit, how He set my feet upon a rock, how He's established my going, how He's provided and protected and showed me things in my life. You're called to be a witness. You're called to be a minister. You're called to give God glory. That is the purpose of every member in the body of Christ. Now again, with those three basic principles, with those three purposes, I believe that God has given to every part of the body of Christ. With those three purposes, God leads us into different areas to take those things and to grow upon them that we can do more for the cause of Christ. But again, you've got to have those three main purposes. Tonight, church, would you let God refocus us? Refocus you on what our purpose is. Yes, it is the purpose of the church, but you make up the church. Are you doing what God has purposed for you to do? If not, you're failing the body of Christ. I want to refocus. I want to get my mind back on what we're here to do. Yes, I want to reach the world. But to reach the world, we've got to be on focus of what we're here to do. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Let me give you one danger. In the body of Christ, everybody says, I want to be an elbow. Well, guess what? Not everybody's an elbow. Brother Rick, maybe God's called me to be the armpit. What would your body be without an armpit? I like my armpits. They sort of help keep my arms together. If I didn't have my armpit, my arm might fall off. One of the greatest dangers in why we lose sight and lose focus of our purpose is because we are not content doing the purpose that God has called us to do. We have grown up a society that's always changing. Every year they come out with a new telephone, don't they? I got to get that phone. Is your phone broke? No, but I got to have that one. Why? What does it do that yours don't do? Does it make phone calls? Yeah. Does it take a picture? Yeah. Can you text people? Yeah. So why do you need a new phone? Because you're not content with the one you got. That's the reason people fall out of church is because they're never content of just doing what God wants them to do. Tonight we need to refocus our purpose. Are you glorifying God through your body? Are you ministering? We need some teachers. Well, I couldn't teach. Why? Why couldn't you teach? Why can anybody in here that teach? They just read their Bible, study their Bible, pray and seek God's face, and they give you what God's given them.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God's told you to minister, are you? Well, preacher, no, I'm not called to be a preacher. Everybody's called to be, well, truly, you are called to be a preacher. We're all called to be a preacher of the gospel.
That's right.
But are you ministering? God's called you to witness. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody of what God's done? That's our purpose.
Amen.
Our purpose isn't heaven. That's just the benefit of what God's done for us. Our purpose, why did God leave us here? We are a vessel.
Amen.
That God has chosen to use to take the gospel across the world.
Amen.
I want you to get that purpose. I don't want you to flounder around in this life. I don't want you to aimlessly bounce from here to there. Find that purpose. Dig in and do what God has commanded us to do. Focus on that purpose. Let's stand together this evening.